над поточком хмариться блакит. А я хочу, та й не хочу вік тебе любить. Біла хмара, чорна хмара, ми з тобою пара, може і не пара. Дощик буде, сонце буде, що ж мені робить? Чорна хмара вітром дише на мою біду. Тебе, дівко, я залишу, кращу не знайду. Біла хмара, чорна хмара, ми з тобою пара, може і не пара. Дощик буде, сонце буде, що ж мені робить? Хмара, наче квітка, небі забринить. Покохати можна швидко, важче розлюбить. Біла хмара, чорна хмара, ми з тобою пара, може і не пара. Дощик буде, сонце буде, що ж мені робить? Обі хмари в небі синім, разом як не дивись на мене сумно, краще обійми. Біла хмара, чорна хмара, ми з тобою пара, може і не пара. Дощик буде, сонце буде, що ж мені робить? Біла хмара, чорна хмара, ми з тобою пара, може і не пара. Дощик буде, сонце буде, що ж мені робить?
Was the Hrim band from New York City from their brand new recently released CD, self-titled. And that CD is available now on CD Baby. You can find out about it and the group on the Nash Holos blog. There is an entry there about the Hrim band, so do check it out and order a copy of this fabulous CD. Every single song on it is absolutely wonderful. Again, that was the Hrim band from New York City, and that song you just heard was Bila Chmara, Chorna Chmara, which means white clouds, black clouds. And by the way, there is none of the latter here on Vancouver Island as I record this program anyways, and I hope that if there are any clouds in your skies, that they are those white fluffy ones that mean great summer weather. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос», яка передається із чудового Ванкуверського острову. Говорить Павліна Макворі, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину, послухати чудову українську музику, і також ми маємо дуже цікаві новини на сьогоднішній програмі. Hello there, and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Paulette Demchuk-McQuarrie, your host, Pokrinske, that's Pavlina. Thank you so much for tuning in. Whether you're listening on AM, FM, shortwave, online, or in flight, or to the podcast, a very warm welcome to you, Vitayu. We have a great program lined up for you. Vasyl Pavlovsky will be by with Cultural Capsule. He'll be talking about the Ukraine train that's making its way across Canada, and following the route of the original Ukrainian pioneers who came to Canada some 120 years ago, for the first time anyways, and have been coming ever since. We've also got Natalka Buchok from Oakville, Ontario, with a Ukrainian food flair, and she'll be sharing some very yummy recipes for appetizers, and they go back to the early 20th century. And Donna Creighton will be dropping by for a chat about the song that she wrote about the internment of Ukrainians and other East Europeans during World War I here in Canada. And Donna is a Canadian singer-songwriter hailing from southern Ontario, and she'll share the story behind that song. It's quite a fascinating story. We'll also have news from Ukraine, courtesy Keith Perron, a proverb of the week, other items of interest, and plenty of great Ukrainian music. And since this is one of those rare times when we've got the Canada Day and American Independence Day on the same, forming the same long weekend, I'm going to be sharing some music by Canadian and American artists doing Ukrainian music. Up now is a gal from Lillooet, just up north from Vancouver, and she emailed me a few months back and sent me some clips of her original compositions in Ukrainian. Her name is Helena Smolyarchuk. Here she is now with a song called Tam There.
Поведи там, де світла промінь не згасає, де весні розсвісти ніхто не заважає. Покажи стежку, що веде до розуміння, шлях, яким я пройду без страху і тремтіння. Там, де немає провини і жалю, там, де ніхто не причинить любові, де серця віднайшли себе у спільній мові. Ти навчи, як сказати слово правди і віри, не зійти із напрямку надії і довіри. Там, де невпевненість втратила сили, любов має владу і вплив.
Порізала пальчик та й болить, зелений листочок не гоїть. Зелений листочок не гоїть, не гоїть, поцілує милий загоїть. Зелений листочок не гоїть, не гоїть, поцілує милий загоїть. Ось що то за хлопець, як зветься, він до мене гарно сміється. Я б його любила душею, душею, якби він назвав м'я своєю. Я б його любила душею, душею, якби він назвав м'я своєю. Ой, що то за хлопець, як ружа, я би його взяла за мужа. Я б йому робити не дала, не дала, тільки б для красоньки тримала. Йому робити не дала, не дала, тільки для красоньки тримала. Порізалом пальчик та й болить, зелений листочок не гоїть. Зелений листочок не гоїть, не гоїть, поцілує милий загоїть. Зелений листочок не гоїть, не гоїть, поцілує милий загоїть. тебе ті чагари, я без тебе всі дні у полоні печалі. Може, десь у лісах ти черзіля шукала, сонце руту знайшла і мене зчарувала. Червону руту не шукай вечорами, ти у мене єдина, тільки ти, повір, бо твоя врода, то є чиста я вода, то є бистра я вода синіх. Бачу я тебе в снах, у дібровах зелених, по забутих стежках ти приходиш до мене, і не треба нести мені квітку надії, бо давно уже ти увійшла в мої мрії. Червону руту не шукай вечорами, ти у мене єдина, тільки ти, повір, бо твоя врода, то є чиста я вода, то є бистра я вода в синіх. Червону руту не шукай вечорами, ти у мене єдина, тільки ти, повір, твоя врода, то є чиста я вода, то є бистра я вода в синіх.
And that was Ukrainian-American songstress Sonia from her CD Від щирого серця, From the Heart. And Sonia, of course, hails from Nashville, Tennessee, and has a country recording career as well. But she did record this wonderful CD of Ukrainian folk songs. And the song that you just heard, of course, was the Ivasyuk classic Червона Рута, The Red Rue. And before Sonia, you heard Ukrainian singing sensation Oksana Mucha, who sounds very suspiciously like Kvitka Sisek. And of course, that's no accident, because she did admire Kvitka Sisek's music very much and does model herself after her. And that song is from a CD entitled Reshato, and you can get it from Yevshan. You can find a link to Yevshan on the Nash Holos website. And that song that you heard by Oksana was Porizalam Palchik, I Cut My Finger.
PCJ Radio would like to make you a winner. PCJ Radio is giving away three Texan 920 World Band receivers to three lucky winners in June, July, and August. In September, we are having a grand giveaway of a brand new Sanjen ATS 909X worth $399 to one lucky winner. To enter, let us know how you heard this program with the date and time, and answer the following very simple question. What does radio mean to you? You can send your entries to ats909x@gmail.com. Again, that's ats909x@gmail.com. If you wish to enter by snail mail and receive a small thank you gift for entering, you can find our postal address at www.pcjmedia.com. Winners will be announced on a monthly basis on Media Network Plus. So, good luck!
And now, Ukrainian Food Flair with Natalia Buchok and a taste of Galician cuisine from 1929.
Вітаємо! Welcome to Ukrainian Food Flair on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Today I'm sharing a spread for canapes suitable for that mitzvah bava snack. That moment when you need a break from dancing, when your feet are killing you, your stomach is rumbling, but you're not quite ready to go home. In the days when you might have had couples polkaing through your living room, or today for that church fundraiser, this is the spread to prepare. Take 200 grams of butter, 200 grams of sweet cheese, and blend them together in a small bowl. You can sprinkle in a bit of white pepper if you like some subtle heat. Lovingly spread this on a bun. Imagine using a brioche or a luscious egg bread, or for a more interesting contrast, a rugged olive bread. You can layer this with the spreads mentioned in the previous episodes. Add a bit of chopped egg as garnish, along with a delicate sprinkle of chopped chives, and voila, your guests will outdance themselves yet. In case you were wondering, a sweet cheese is usually cream cheese or cottage cheese sweetened with honey or a bit of sugar. Be really outrageous and add a drop of vanilla. Now we're going to learn about Liptauer. Liptauer is a spicy cheese spread made with any soft cheese such as sheep cheese, goat cheese, quark cheese, cottage cheese, or Philadelphia cream cheese. It is a part of Slovak cuisine, Hungarian, Austrian, and Italian cuisine. The name Liptauer is derived from the German word for the region of Liptov in northern Slovakia, which, like Ukraine before 1918, was part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Liptauer is consumed on open-faced sandwiches, toast, crackers, bagels, or as a filling in stuffed tomatoes, stuffed peppers, or hard-boiled eggs. In Slovakia and Hungary, there are many Liptauer recipes. In fact, many families have their own special recipe. So here's Olha's interpretation of Liptauer. Cream together 2 tablespoons of butter and 2 tablespoons of a soft cheese. Add 1/2 teaspoon, or for a stronger flavor since we're experimenting, 1/2 tablespoon of finely chopped capers, gherkins, a little onion or shallots, and chives. Then add 1/2 teaspoon of caraway, 1/2 teaspoon of paprika, and a spoonful of French mustard. Blend well and then, using a piping bag or parchment paper rolled into a cone with the narrow end snipped, pipe out various designs onto the assorted breads, crackers, or buns that are posing as your canapés. For our final recipe of the day, take 1 pound of unsalted butter and cream together with 1/4 pound of Roquefort cheese, that tangy, greenish, bluish, marbled sheep's cheese. Serve in a delicate dish with a pâté knife for spreading. Roquefort was the favorite cheese of King Charlemagne of France. In 1411, King Charles VI, also of France, gave rights to the aging of Roquefort to only one village, which I'm sure I'm about to mispronounce, Roquefort-sur-Soulzon. The cheese is aged for a minimum of 4 months in the caves of this very same village. It's made exclusively from the milk of a certain breed of sheep, and a genuine Roquefort cheese has a red sheep on the label. This is Natalia Buchok with Food Flair, Ukrainian Roots Radio, asking all you men out there, what's in your man cave these days? If it's cheese, you can't call it Roquefort.
Thanks, Natalia. Join us again next week for Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Pidraziuk-Molnar here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
Ukrainian News Outlook. Coming up, we look at whether or not the Russian gas giant Gazprom wants to take control of Ukraine's pipeline network. I'm Keith Parent. Europe has become accustomed to the winter wrangling between Russia and Ukraine over gas prices. In 2009, gas flows to Europe were disrupted for 2 weeks before Moscow and Kiev reached a new pricing agreement. Now, at the height of the European summer, there are signs that gas may flare up again. This time, the battle is for control of Ukraine's gas pipeline. Kerry Skyring reports from Ukraine.
Ukraine is poor, and the black smoke from ancient buses on the potholed streets of Odessa is only one sign of that. The country's gas pipelines, like the streets of Odessa, are also in poor shape. Built in Soviet times, they require massive investment if they're to provide reliable transit of gas. What Kiev can't afford, Moscow can. Gazprom, the Russian government-controlled gas giant, is seeking a partnership with Naftogaz, Ukraine's gas and oil monopoly. Volodymyr Dubovik, international relations expert at Odessa National University, says the ultimate aim is Russian control of Ukraine's gas infrastructure.
I think that's what they would like to do, both in terms of economic interests, but mostly and primarily in terms of their geopolitical interests. What Russia is doing, I'm personally not buying the theory of Russian political leaders and decision makers basing their decisions these days exclusively on economic and business interests. I think the geopolitical ideological agenda is still pretty much in their mind. So I think it's more important for them to get Ukraine under control geopolitically in terms of tying Ukraine closer to Russia. But economic interests is part of this as well.
Ukraine says there are major problems with the agreement signed with Russia in 2009 and that the price it pays for gas is still too high. Russian President Vladimir Putin and Gazprom say they're not changing the deal. That leaves Ukraine with few options, and all are painful. One is to reduce its dependency on Russian gas by using less. Ricarda Riga is the country manager for the United Nations Development Programme and says Ukraine is one of the world's least energy-efficient countries.
Unfortunately, the prices are so low that it is not very interesting. Energy prices, it's not so interesting for them to... they're not compelled to do much about energy efficiencies in businesses and housing.
The International Monetary Fund is keeping Ukraine's economy afloat with a $15 billion loan. The money is conditional on Ukraine increasing domestic gas prices and reducing its deficit. But that's politically painful for the government and President Viktor Yanukovych. Volodymyr Dubovik likens it to a junkie's withdrawal symptoms.
It is a needle of that syringer that drug addicts use, definitely. We've been talking for almost 20 years now about diversifying sources of supply of energy for Ukraine. And imagine for a second real action being done in that direction. The dependency on Russian energy supply would go down. But nothing's being done. Nothing's being done for various reasons. The lack of competence of our political elites.
Ukraine has little to bargain with when it comes to fending off Russian political influence and Gazprom's financial ambitions. But it did negotiate a reduction in gas prices in exchange for an extension of the Russian Black Sea Fleet rights in the Crimea. But says Sergei Glebov from Odessa's Mechnikov University, this only highlights the extent of political interference in energy policy.
Unfortunately, Russia is very pressing on Ukraine, and it has actually resources to do this. Ukraine is too weak to oppose the Russian intentions and Russian policy.
Ukraine's other option is to pursue closer ties with the EU. It's currently negotiating a free trade agreement, but Russia has a record of using gas prices to turn up the heat each time Kiev turns towards the EU and NATO.
Unfortunately, European Union is also restricted in their instruments and possibilities to oppose Russian influence and Russian politics in eastern parts of Europe towards Ukraine, for example, because the European Union is also dependent on Russian gas. That is why the European Union should be more attentive to some Ukrainian problems and some Ukrainian requests when both of the sides are negotiating about a free trade zone, for example.
With its dependency on IMF loans and Russian gas, many believe Ukraine's pipelines will inevitably end up with Gazprom. Russian money to rebuild them will be linked to a deal favoring Russian interests. Professor Olga Kamenchuk is the director of a Moscow-based public opinion research center and an expert on both Ukraine and Russia. She says Ukraine needs to work with both East and West.
Ukraine is a direct neighbor of European Union. Ukraine is a direct neighbor of Russia. Thus, they're both interested in developing both economic and political ties. And it's also important for both of us, Europeans, EU-Europeans and Russians, to somehow find consensus on that. You know, that's the geography, that's how God made it. There is Ukraine between us, and I think we can all be developing friendly ties with each other and with Ukraine.
Odessa's wide avenues and grand 19th century buildings are slowly being rebuilt, sometimes with Russian money, sometimes with help from the EU. But when it comes to rebuilding the country's gas pipelines, Russia looks to be its best bet. To do a deal and still control those pipes is the challenge Ukraine faces. Kerry Skyring, Odessa.
And with that, we've come to the end of this edition. If you wish to subscribe to it in iTunes, just go to www.pcjmedia.com/Nash-Holos, and you will find a link. I'm Keith Parent.
I'm Vasily Pavlovsky, and this is Cultural Capsule, especially for Nash Holos. Less than 2 months ago, I received a request from an old friend and editor of the website Historichna Pravda, Historical Truth, Vakhtan Kipiani. He mentioned that he would be coming to Canada as part of a project initiated by Ihor Ostash, the ambassador of Ukraine to Canada. One of the project's goals was to familiarize Ukrainians in Ukraine with the hardships and accomplishments of those first pioneers, as well as those that came after from Ukraine and settled in Canada. It all seemed extremely familiar to me, for 20 years ago, prior to Ukraine's independence, during the 100th anniversary of Ukrainian settlement in Canada, I had carried out a similar project, on a much smaller scale, traveling by minibus and not by train. The train of Ukrainian pioneers departed Halifax on June 25th, retracing a route that so many of Canada's settlers of Ukrainian extraction followed. Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, Winnipeg, Saskatoon, and Edmonton. I personally joined the delegation from the time of their arrival in Montreal. It was an extremely full day, stopping in at the main Ukrainian community centers in Montreal, including St. Michael's Ukrainian Catholic Church, which this year is celebrating its centennial. The day culminated at the Canadian Railway Museum in St. Constant, and included a tour of the museum and an official program of local as well as artists, members of the delegation, Nina Matvienko and Yaroslav Jus, representing clearly two different generations of Ukrainians. The following morning, I, together with my friend Vakhtan, made our way down to Central Station to rejoin the group, though on our way we visited Shevchenko Boulevard in LaSalle, and the Church of the Holy Spirit in Point St. Charles, spots which the delegation simply did not have time to visit. During our train trip from Montreal to Ottawa, I had the opportunity to speak with Ambassador Ostash and about what provoked him to initiating such a project. In short, Ambassador Ostash was impressed when he learnt of the experience of the first settlers to Canada's west, where they lived in sod houses called burdeis, and wanted to share this and other things with Ukrainians in Ukraine, who know so little about Ukrainians in Canada.
I've seen this so-called burdei, first Ukrainian house in Canada. And just imagine, minus 40, minus 45, this first winter with families, 10, 12 kids, children. It's unbelievable. But they survived. And for me, it's really the history of Ukrainian and Canadian success.
And so we're now traveling to Ottawa. You've got, as part of your delegation, what type of people? I know along the way you're going to be visiting various cities and meeting with local Canadians and Ukrainian Canadians. Who are some of the people that are on your trip with you?
Oh, the composition of our team, I can say, is very special. We invited a lot of prominent Ukrainian and Canadian politicians, Ukrainian and Canadian artists, especially young people, students from Susk. They also travel with us, and it's very important for us to show this history to young generation, the younger generation of Ukrainians in Canada. And plus, of course, it's mass media. We have a lot of very famous journalist from Ukraine and Canada and the United States. We'd like to share this information with not only Canadians but Ukrainians. For me, it's extremely important to bring this history to Ukraine, because really it's forgotten history, it's unknown history in Ukraine.
I'm Vasily Pavlovsky, and this week we had a glimpse in on the train of Ukrainian pioneers, a project of Ambassador of Ukraine to Canada, Ihor Ostash.
When the dusts of battle had settled down, and our warrior Cossacks looked sadly round, to see how many brethren they had lost, they'd cry out at the heavy cost. It wasn't the first time their swords had clashed, and they knew very well wouldn't be the last. They'd pray to God they had a war to win, their beloved homeland would rise again. When the pioneers' backs were about to break under the toils of this new land, they prayed a God in heaven above, how much more could they withstand? They placed holy crosses into the ground, and soon new strength to go on was found. Their faith had brought them another day. They'd get back on their feet and say, they'd say, the time that our bard inspired us to strive for a better fate. It took many years, many sacrifices, many went to heaven's gate. But when the winds of freedom swept across Ukraine in the summer of 91, you could hear generations from the past join together with those of today as one and yell,
Budьмо hey! Budьмо hey! We'll be, Budьмо hey!
As I watched my father be laid to rest in this his, but not his land, I looked my boy straight in the eyes, and I'd pray to God he'd understand. I said, this was a faithful son of Ukraine, remember and cherish this bond. And then my son looked at me, and he said with a strength that seemed to come from a world beyond, he said,
Budьмо hey, hey, Budьмо hey, hey, we'll be, Budьмо hey.
And that was Shum from Winnipeg, and that is from their fourth CD called Unplugged, and a song called Budьмо, which pretty much tells the story of Ukrainians in Canada, or at least it's a good overview. But missing from that overview, as with most of Ukrainians in Canada, is a rather dark story that goes back to World War I, involving the first immigration of Ukrainians to Canada. And that is the internment of Ukrainians and other East Europeans who came from the former Austro-Hungarian Empire. During World War I, there were internment camps that were set up. And these Ukrainians came under suspicion simply because they had come from the Austro-Hungarian Empire. The Canadian government did not take into account the fact that they were fleeing from that regime and actually were in Canada, were very loyal citizens, perhaps more loyal than some that were born here. That, however, was beside the point. Some 80,000 Ukrainians and other East Europeans were branded enemy aliens. 8,000 of them ended up in concentration camps, 26 across the country, and that was stayed open, and some of them until 1920, 2 years after the war. This tragic story came to light, and that was about in the late 1980s, and that was at the instigation of Professor Lubomir Latsyuk of Kingston, Ontario. Since then, it's becoming a little bit more well-known. Still, it's not that particularly well-known. So it's become a source of fascination for historians of non-Ukrainian background, not only historians, but people who just have an interest in history, including singer-songwriters such as Donna Creighton, who wrote a song called Look, and it was debuted at one of the unveilings at one of the internment sites a few years back. And I caught up with Donna on the internet. We talked on Skype about the story behind it. And we spoke on Skype about the story behind this song, which is called Look, also known as 80,000 Voices. And the song was written from the perspective of Castle Mountain in Alberta, looking down upon what has been done to the people barely surviving at its feet.
So how did this come about?
My friend Dan Ebbs, who's a player, I believe he's living out west now, I had written a play called Home and Native Land, which was about the internment of Eastern Europeans, primarily Ukrainians, during the First World War in Canada. Basically, you know, the same thing they did to the Japanese in the Second World War, they'd done to the Eastern Europeans in Canada in the First World War because they were from the Austro-Hungarian Empire, mm-hmm. not because they'd done anything criminal. So they mm-hmm. expropriated all their land, put them all, you know, in concentration camps. So here's this play, and I know nothing about the history at all. And I go, huh? They did what to who? When? And so I started to research, and I said, hey, Dan, you want a song for your play? And he said, no. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to write one anyway, and then you can tell me at that point if you want a song for your play. And so I phoned Joanne, my Sirens buddy, and she came over and we sat down for 3 days and wrote the lyrics. I'd been researching traditional Ukrainian folk music and I decided to create a melody based on a Eastern European gypsy scale that I'd found. So that's where the melody came from, and Joanne and I sat down and wrote the lyrics in English, and she kept saying, it's not done yet, it's not done yet. In the meantime, Dan says they're doing a historical plaque unveiling in Niagara Falls, and do you want to come and sing the song? And I said, yes, of course I do. So I said, I phoned Joanne and I said, they've invited me, I'm going to go sing it. And she says, well, I guess you better finish it then, haven't you? And so I'd phone her and I'd sing it to her over the phone. And the one, you know, she said, that's not it, I think you can do better. And so I said, well, okay, fine. I'll keep working on the melody, but I'm going to go sing it the way it is because that's what we've got done so far. So she said, okay, great. So next morning I get up and I'm in the shower and boom, down comes the melody that I needed. Mm-hmm. And I kept singing it in my head thinking, okay, this is it, this is it, this is it. I'm trying to wash the soap out of my hair. And I ran to the piano and I sat down at the piano and then I called Joanne and I sang it to her over the phone. She said, you've got it. I said, okay, good. So then I learned it in the car on the way to the plaque unveiling.
Oh, wow.
And sang it a cappella under the umbrella holding the umbrella was Andrei, I can't say his last name, Hladyshevsky?
Hladyshevsky.
Yeah, he's from Edmonton. He's, right. And he's in the Edmonton Male Ukrainian Chorus.
Mm.
And so he heard the very first version ever. It sort of took on a life of its own, and the Ukrainian community really liked the tribute of their story the way I'd written it, and they'd heard that I'd had it arranged for men's choir, because selfishly, I wanted to sing in front of a men's choir.
Why?
I don't know. I have these ideas and things that I want to do stuff, and then I just decide I'm going to do it. And so they humored me with that, and we did a really great performance, two of them, one in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew just called me out of the blue or emailed me or something and said, is it true that you have a choral arrangement for men's choir done of Luck? And I said, yeah, I do. And he said, you know, can we sing it? And they, you know, originally they sang it with a male singing the part that I had written. He was a high tenor. It's like, cool, go ahead, sing it, you know. And if you want me to come out and sing it, I'd be happy to fly to Edmonton and sing it. And they said, well, we're going to do this thing in Toronto. Would you like to sing it with us then? It'll be two shows, Toronto and St. Catharines. And I said, yes, I would, actually. And thanks for inviting me. I'm happy to do that. And so they recorded the choir without the solo.
Okay.
And sent it to me as an MP3. So I had the Edmonton Male Karaoke Choir on my computer. And so I rehearsed with the choir.
Right.
At home.
Okay.
And because they knew their part and I knew my part and I'd rehearsed with them. The thing was that they'd never heard me in their life before.
Wow.
They had no idea who I was, what I looked like, or what I sounded like. I was just this woman that wrote the song is going to show up and she's going to sing it. And it's like, you guys are so trusting. So they were just trusting Andrew. I guess they had no idea what the result was going to be. And it was pretty spectacular. We stopped the show twice in St. Catharines. It stopped the entire show for a standing ovation.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
My boyfriend was in the front row crying. After, of course, it was also translated to Ukrainian. So there's a Ukrainian version, which you have, and there's the choral version,
mm-hmm.
and then the English version. And it continues to resonate, I guess, for the Ukrainian community, even though I am not remotely Ukrainian. Historically, heritage, genes, nothing.
That's amazing. On behalf of the community, I have to say thank you for doing it.
You're welcome. It's a story that has such profound impact.
Yeah. So then you stayed in contact with Andy then, obviously.
I stayed in contact with Lubomir Lichuk.
Oh.
I became a student of a piece of Canadian history that mm-hmm. people don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And people argue with me about it that didn't happen. It's like,
really?
Well, sure did. Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. I've had arguments with people who say, well, when did that happen? That didn't happen. It's like, sure did. I want to hear, you know.
Wow.
Here's the history, you know, go read this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I find I'm doing a lot of education of Canadian history in that particular era just because nobody knows about it still. Oh. It's not common. It's not part of, I don't think it's even part of history curriculum in the schools. The Japanese internment is.
Yes.
And the first one is not. And
yeah.
and I think that's wrong.
Well, that's what helped the second one to happen, as well as the War Measures Act in 1970.
Sure. Yeah.
So this the song is it's such a beautiful song, and I've played it on Nash Holos for off and on ever since I received it several years ago. You and Joanne are no longer working together, so you worked together for a while on a project called Sirens.
Yep.
Now, is this song Look recorded anywhere on one of your albums?
No, it isn't. It's something that it was a project that I took on by myself. Joanne helped me to write the lyrics.
Any plans to record it somewhere? Is it available for the Ukrainian community and other interested Canadians who don't believe that it happened?
It can be. It can be easily. I can put it on iTunes.
Okay, that'll be great. Will you let me know when that happens, and I'll let my listeners know.
The English and the and the Ukrainian version?
Definitely.
Sure.
Definitely. Yeah. But for the Ukrainian version now, you sang that in Ukrainian? That was you singing?
It was me.
It was you singing.
Я скала із висот моїх, свідком була вас в'язаних, понищені тіла при підніжжях, без вини і я зустрічали.
It sounds pretty darn good, Donna, for a non-Ukrainian. And I know, as a student of the Ukrainian language, it ain't easy. Yeah, how did you do that?
It's a long story. In university, there was a young fellow in my drama class who played the bandura, and I found the instrument fascinating. So for my music history project, I went and researched the bandura and found all kinds of interesting things about it and its other relative instruments, like the dulcimer and other things that came over from there. And nobody in town knew anything about it, except there was a woman whose daughter played the bandura, and her name was Oksana Medelinsky, and she was a choir director for a Ukrainian choir. And so I hooked up with her way back in university. It's like, once again, I'm involved in the Ukrainian community, and why not learn it myself, right? So I called Oksana and I said, hey, you remember me? And she said, yes, of course. And so I told her what I was doing and asked if she would be my pronunciation coach.
Well, thank you for taking an interest in the whole matter. Thank you for arguing with people and convincing them that this did happen.
Yeah, it's tragic to have powers that be have that much power.
Yeah,
they can do to 80,000 people.
And it likely won't happen again, but you never know. And, you know, the best way to ensure it doesn't happen again is to be fully apprised of when it did the first time.
You don't have to make the same stupid mistake three times.
Well, hopefully it won't be made a fourth, thanks to, you know, people such as yourself. And thank you for the song, and we'll be playing it on Nash Holos.
Awesome. Thank you.
It has a home there.
Yay!
Okay. Thank you very much, Donna.
You're welcome.
I, the mountain from whose crown, witnessed you the barbed wire bound, the crumbling bodies at my feet, where man and mountain came to meet. Look, look, look what you thank you. lies, fractured families, scattered lives, the lies from governmental lips, thick like fog constricts my ribs. Look, look, look what you have done.
And that was, of course, Donna Creighton performing Look. And if you'd like a copy for yourself of this version or any of the other three or all three, then just check iTunes. And if you're having any problems, get in touch with me, producer@noshholos.com, or leave a comment on the blog. And I'll get in touch with Donna and see that you get a copy of this remarkable Canadian song. For the very best in Ukrainian cultural programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio every Sunday evening at 6 p.m., AM 1320 on the radio dial in Vancouver, and streaming online at am1320.com. The internationally syndicated edition airs on the PCJ Radio Network on shortwave AM and FM weekends, as well on PCJ Internet Radio at pcjmedia.com. The podcast for the Vancouver edition can be found at the Nash Holos website, which is noshholos.com, and the International PCJ Radio edition at pcjmedia.com, and both editions are available on iTunes. А на жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час додому і сказати до побачення, але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Хто корінь лиха знайде, той і біду обійде. And a proverb of the week translates as to find the root of the problem is to solve it. Well, our time is just about up, so to take us to the end of our program, we've got an American tune by a Canadian group, the Liberty Two-Step by the Canadian Rhythm Masters. I'm Paulette Demchik-McQuarrie. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Till next time, до побачення!